The reading for this morning will be from the book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 26 all the way to 40. But the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward south, unto the way that thou goest down from Jerusalem into Gaza, and the same, which is the same, the desert. And he arose and went, and behold, the man, the Ethiopian, a eunuch of the authority of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was over all of the treasury, who had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot, and was reading the book of Isaiah, or the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran to him, and he heard him reading Isaiah the prophet, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except someone shall guide me? And he brought Philip, and he bestowed Philip to come up and to sit with him. Now the passage of the scriptures in which he was reading was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and the lamb before the shearer was dumb. So he opened up not his mouth, and in humility his judgment was taken away. This generation who shall declare? For his life was taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered to Philip, and he said, I pray thee, to whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or to some other? And Philip opened his mouth and began from this scripture, preaching unto him Jesus. And as they went on the way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, Behold, here is water. What doest hinder me to be baptized? And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and baptized him. And when they had come out of the water, then the Spirit of the Lord called up Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, for he went his way rejoicing. But Philip was found in Azus, and passing through, he preached the gospel to all the cities till he came to Caesarea.
This is a familiar text, I'm sure, to most of us as we study through the book of Acts from time to time. We talk about the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch. But if we read concerning the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch, we note that this man is a religious man. We don't very often think, perhaps, of a man who is a religious man needing to be converted. But this man was in need of obedience to the gospel. Here's a man who has traveled from Ethiopia, the text tells us, to Jerusalem on his way home now. He's been there to worship, the text tells us. He's traveled the distance of about 1,000 miles from Africa to Palestine to worship God. Noting that this man is taking advantage of the time that he is in the chariot. The text tells us that as he's traveling along, he's reading from the Old Testament prophecy of Isaiah. We know the quotation comes from Isaiah chapter 53. Again, a familiar text to most of us. But this man's understanding of what the prophet was saying was unclear. And Philip was invited to help him to understand what the prophet was teaching. And in verse 35, it tells us that Philip opened his mouth and beginning from this scripture, preached unto him Jesus. Now, wouldn't you like to have the outline that Philip preached? But we know in this text some things that Philip did preach. We know that as they came to a certain water, the eunuch said, Behold, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? How did this eunuch know anything about his need to be baptized? How did he know anything about what the Lord required of him in terms of being a member of the body of Christ? How did this man know anything about what he needed to do in order to enjoy the salvation that was offered unto him? Well, obviously, that was a part of the things that Philip preached unto him when he preached unto him Jesus. But in verse 36, the question that is asked, "Here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized?" I believe is a very interesting question, and one that needs to be asked and answered in some detail. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Here is a man whose interest is piqued because of the preaching of Philip. He understands his need. Philip has pointed out some things to him. What hinders me to be baptized? Philip says unto the eunuch, "If thou believest, thou mayest." Verse 37. The eunuch says, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." They commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. "If thou believest, thou mayest." Observe, if you will, that a lack of faith doesn't really characterize this man. This man has been studying about the prophet Isaiah, as Isaiah has prophesied concerning the coming of Jesus. Philip has preached to them, "If thou believest, thou mayest." He confesses his faith. Jesus had instructed the apostles to go into all the world and make disciples, or teach all nations, baptizing them. Do we not see the importance then of a man being taught? His understanding is crucial. That's why Philip said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" Here is a man that must be taught. He must understand in order that faith might be produced. We note in Acts chapter 2 that that question essentially is asked as the Apostle Peter is preaching that Jesus is the Christ, and you crucified Him, and God raised Him from the dead. Verse 36 tells us that when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said, or verse 37, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" Like this eunuch, they understood they needed to do something. And having understood that Jesus is the Christ, here the problem is not a lack of teaching. The problem is not a lack of faith. For Peter has instructed them in verse 36, "Let all the house of Israel therefore know assuredly that God hath made Him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom ye crucified." How would you like to be in that audience? Indicted with the crucifixion of the Son of God. He has raised Him from the dead. When they heard this, they asked, "What shall we do?" And Peter told these who were now believers, "Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins." A commandment that is often lacking in our instruction. But Peter commanded them to repent. There were some things that needed to be changed about the way that they were thinking, the things that they were practicing. And beloved, when we look at the command to repent, we must understand it is universal in its application. In Acts the 17th chapter and in verse 30, the writer says, "The times of ignorance therefore God overlooked, but now He commandeth men that they should all everywhere repent, inasmuch as He hath appointed the day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men in that He hath raised Him from the dead." Beloved, does preaching Jesus include preaching repentance? Yes, it does. Well, someone is practicing something that we know is wrong. But you see, we don't want to talk about that because that might become offensive to them. No, all men everywhere must repent. Perhaps that's what hinders you from being baptized. You need to change some things that you really simply don't want to change. Years ago, an old gospel preacher friend of mine, Brother Tyler, Granville Tyler, was preaching down in Texas. There was a younger preacher that was trying to instruct a fellow, and he was feeling somewhat ill-disposed, ill-equipped. He was not being successful in his efforts to teach the gentleman. And he asked Brother Tyler, "What is lacking in my teaching? What can I say more that will convert this man? What can I say that will help him to change the way he lives and to obey the gospel?" Brother Tyler said, "It's not your teaching. It's very clear what this man is lacking. He doesn't obey the gospel simply because he doesn't want to." And that often is our problem. There are things that we're practicing that we don't want to give up, or things that we know as a Christian we need to begin to practice that we simply don't want to do. We're not willing to make that kind of commitment. And brethren, you think about that as well. You see, we're not just talking to the person who is not a Christian. The command to repent is something that's required of anyone who's doing something that's wrong. Do we not see that? We've got to stop doing that and start doing the things that are right. Then there are those who back up on being baptized because they say, well, you know, I've already been baptized. I was baptized as a baby. There are many religions that practice that. But turn again, if you will, to Matthew chapter 28 and read Jesus' instructions unto the apostles. He said, go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then he said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And folks, that's not hard. Go teach people. Make disciples out of them. And then baptize those that you've taught. What does that say about baptizing babies? That's not hard, is it? Jesus said in Matthew, or in Mark's account rather, to go preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized. Believeth what? Believeth the gospel. What's that say about baptizing babies? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. When the Apostle Peter commanded those Jews in Acts chapter 2, repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. What does that say about baptizing babies? We'll talk more about that in just a moment. Well, it's not possible to teach a baby, an infant, the need to repent. And then perhaps there are those who say, well, I have good intentions. I'm going to. One of these days, I'm going to be baptized. What is it then that hinders you? It's not a matter of knowledge, not a matter of understanding. It's simply a matter of putting it off. I know what's right. Now, you're talking to somebody that did that. And maybe there's some of you that fit that category. It's not a matter of knowing what's right. You know what's right. You know what you need to do. It's just a matter of one day I aim to do that, but not today. Well, you've made a decision about today, haven't you? I'm not going to obey the gospel today. I'm not going to do that today. In Acts chapter 24, in verse 25, we read of the Apostle Paul preaching to Felix as he makes his defense, and he said he reasoned of righteousness and self-control and the judgment to come. And Felix was terrified and answered, go thy way for this time, and when I have a convenient season, I will call thee unto me. Perhaps that's what we're waiting on. Sometime when it's very convenient, we'll obey the gospel. Procrastination may very well cost you your soul. Of all things that Felix needed to hear, he needed to hear the message that Paul was preaching to him. But he put off any kind of obedience to a convenient time. Now, beloved, when we talk about this question, see, here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? There are some things that we must understand, and that is, being baptized is necessary to becoming a Christian. It's essential to salvation. Turn in your Bible again to the Lord's commission unto the apostles in Mark's account, where he instructed them to preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. You can't get to here simply from here without passing through here. Do we not see that? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Now, we've had the argument made many times. Well, it doesn't say anything about the man being damned who is baptized not. It doesn't have to, my friend. Well, why not? Well, if you baptize an unbeliever, you haven't accomplished a single solitary thing, have you? The analogy has been used many times. I've used it a number of times. He that eateth food and digesteth it shall live. He that eateth not shall die. Do I have to tell you, if you don't digest it, you'll die? Well, if you don't eat it, then you're not going to digest it. It's a given. The man who is a believer shall, or an unbeliever shall be damned. It doesn't matter whether you baptize him or not. That's too simple to miss. But it helps us to see the importance of being baptized. The sinner must believe and be baptized if he intends to be saved. It's essential to his salvation. It's also essential to membership in the Lord's body. And I think we miss this sometimes. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and in verse 13, the Apostle Paul writing said, for in one Spirit were we all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether bond or free, and we're all made to drink of one Spirit. We're baptized into one body. Beloved, what is that body? In Ephesians chapter 1, in verses 22 and 23, we learn that the body is the church, and Christ is the head of that body. We learn that He is the Savior of that spiritual body. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 23. But how do we get into that spiritual body? Paul said that by one Spirit we're baptized into that one body. Can you tell me any other way to get into the body of Christ? The body of Christ is that body of saved people, and you can't enter it without being baptized into it. That means then that baptism is essential to becoming a member in the body of Christ, in the church that belongs to Christ, that body of people of which He is the Savior. Now, isn't that simple? Notice further, if you will, that baptism is placed parallel to the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ. In the familiar text of Romans chapter 6, in verses 3 and 4, Paul writes, "Are ye ignorant that all we who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried therefore with Him through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life." Look, when did we become united with Him? Was it not when we were baptized into Christ that we were baptized into His death? I don't know of any other way to come into contact with the blood of Christ than to be baptized into His death. Do you? That's simply what the passage tells us. But look further in the text. It says, "We were buried, therefore, with Him." When were we buried with Him? We were buried with Him, the writer says, through baptism. That like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. When did Christ have a new life? When He was raised from the dead. When do you have a new life in Christ Jesus? When you are raised from the dead, the grave of being baptized. Do we not see that? Raised to walk a new life. Well, let's look just a little bit further. Remission, forgiveness of sins. Baptism is essential. When you turn to the words of the Apostle Peter in Acts chapter 2, when those Jews have asked the question, "What shall we do?" Peter said, "Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins." The American Standard Translation says, "unto the remission of your sins." But I want you to look in your Bible, if you will. Hold your finger there at Acts 2. And turn over to Matthew chapter 26. Brother Richard alluded to this just a few moments ago, where Jesus was instituting the Lord's Supper as He was observing the Passover feast with the disciples. In Matthew chapter 26, if you'll turn to that and read beginning at verse 26. Look carefully at your Bible. It says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed and brake it, and gave to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is My body. And He took a cup and gave thanks and gave to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is My blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many unto remission of sins. But I say unto you, I shall not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in My Father's kingdom." Look carefully at verse 28. As Jesus took the cup and gave it to them and said, "Drink ye all of it," He said, "For this is My blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many unto," or for, "remission of sins." You still holding your finger there at Acts 2? Notice the wording of Acts chapter 2, verse 38, and the wording of the Lord here in Matthew chapter 26, verse 28. Jesus poured out His blood for remission of sins. We're to repent and be baptized for remission of sins. But someone said, "Well, don't you know, preacher, that baptism is an outward sign of an inward faith?" You heard that before? You're baptized to show everybody that you're already saved. That's the purpose of baptism. You see, preacher, baptism don't have anything to do with salvation. And we look at Acts chapter 2, and folks respond to that and say, "Well, preacher, you just don't understand the Greek." No, perhaps I don't. That little word translated ice or ace, as some pronounce it, for remission of sin. Preacher, don't you know that that word means because of? So Peter is telling those folks to repent and be baptized because of the remission of your sins. Well, now if that works in Acts 2, you plug that into Matthew 26 and see where you come out. Look at it, if you will, verse 28. Matthew 26, verse 28. Let's read it with that understanding. It says, "For this is my body of the, for this is my blood, rather, of the covenant, which is poured out for many because of remission of sins." That is, your sins are already forgiven. So therefore, Jesus shed His blood because sin had already been remitted. Now, you know better than that, don't you? That won't work. Jesus didn't shed His blood because sin had already been remitted any more than you're baptized because your sin has already been remitted. Jesus shed His blood in order to remission of sins. Now, why are you baptized? You're baptized in order to receive the remission of your sins. And that's why Peter told those Jews in answer to their question, "What must we do? Repent ye and be baptized for the remission of your sins." He's telling them, here's what you do and why. He doesn't tell them, you don't need to do anything, you just need to profess you're already saved. And the way that folks see that is you're baptized. That's not what He told them. He told them the same thing that Jesus told the disciples regarding the shedding of His blood, did He not? In Matthew chapter 26. Now friend, if you can see through a ladder, you can see that. That's not hard. Look further. We know that baptism is necessary to this new life. New life. Well, let's look at a passage. Turn, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul says, "Wherefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, they are become new." If any man is in Christ, what is he? He's a new creature. Old things passed away, they've become new. But when does he enter into Christ? When does he become a new creature? Well, we've already read the passage. Romans chapter 6 and verses 3 and 4. In Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, Paul said, "Are ye ignorant that all we who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried, therefore, with Him through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life." When did they enjoy a new life? Before or after they were baptized? Well, now you just look at the text and answer the question. They had a new life after they were baptized. What made it new? The old man had passed away. What's happened to the old man? He's died and buried. And he's raised to walk a new life. When was he raised? When he was raised from being baptized, wasn't he? So if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Beloved, when did they pass away? They died. When did they die? You see, when he ceased their practice and buried them, when he was baptized, he was raised to walk a new life. He was a new creature. All things become new in Christ Jesus. Now friend, that's just not hard, is it? So baptism is necessary. But you see, when we ask that question that the eunuch asked, "See, here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized?" We must understand that baptism is not for everybody. There have been occasions when I would sit down and talk with somebody and say, "You're not ready to be baptized. There are some things you need to know." And indeed, beloved, there are things that we need to know. An infant is not ready to be baptized. In Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20, the Old Testament prophet said, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son did not bear the iniquity of the father. The father does not bear the iniquity of the son. But the soul that sinneth, it shall die." What does that tell us about babies? Well, they're innocent. They don't need salvation because they're not lost. They're not in jeopardy. So babies are not subject to being baptized. Children are not accountable. I want you to turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 18. In Matthew chapter 18, reading beginning in verse 1, "In that hour came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And he called to him a little child, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye turn and become as little children, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven." What is it that God wants all of us to be like? Be like a little child. We don't baptize a little child. Why? Because they're innocent. God wants us all to be like that. In verse 4, "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." You see, that's what I want to be like. God wants me to be like that. Like the little child. Sometimes I talk with young people who have heard lessons about being baptized and come away with an understanding that they need to be baptized when there are many things that they don't understand. Many things they've not been taught. We'll talk about some of those in our study this morning, time permitting. And as we look at those things, we notice from this passage that little children are not subject to being baptized. Baptism is not designed for them. Baptism is not for the sinner who does not believe. Jesus said, "Go preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Now, I want to suggest to you something here, beloved. If I thought that baptism was just for everybody, I would walk up and down the street with a club until I was arrested dunking people in water. I'd baptize everybody I came in contact with. But you see, that presents a problem because Jesus didn't say, "Go baptize." He said, "Go teach," baptizing them. You baptize those who are taught. You baptize those who believe what they're taught. That's essential, is it not? So baptizing somebody who's not taught, baptizing somebody who is an unbeliever, you haven't done anything but get them wet. And the sinner who will not repent, what have I done for them when I baptize them? I think sometimes we miss that point. Peter told those believers in Acts chapter 2. Yes, they were believers. He said, "Let all the house of Israel know assuredly." That's what prompted the question, "What shall we do?" They knew that what Peter had taught them was true. And then he said, "Repent ye and be baptized." Sometimes we just want to erase that part. We don't want to talk about repentance. Because we know there's some things that are difficult to repent of. Means changes. Some folks take rather hard. Now, beloved, the sinner who won't repent, baptizing him hasn't accomplished anything because Peter told those Jews to repent and be baptized. That was the message that was to be preached beginning from Jerusalem. You're familiar with it from Luke's account, chapter 24, verse 47, where Jesus said that the message of repentance and remission of sins would be preached in my name beginning from Jerusalem. That's what Peter preached when he said, "Repent and be baptized for remission of sins." You preach the message of repentance. The fellow who's unwilling to do that, baptizing him, hasn't accomplished anything. You see, some people are just not ready. You ever have to tell somebody that? Just because somebody says, the Bible says something about being baptized, doesn't it? Had somebody tell me that. Call me on the phone wanting to come down and talk about being baptized. I said, "Why do you want to be baptized?" He said, "Well, several years ago, when I was a boy, my parents brought me up near Nashville, Tennessee, and he said, we went to a Church of Christ. And he said, I remember hearing something as a little boy about being baptized." He said, "There's something in the Bible about the need to be baptized, isn't there?" That was his way of stating it, isn't there? Well, don't you think, my friend, we need to sit down and study what the Bible says about that? Or just because you're aware that the Bible has that word in it, then we need to baptize you? No. That man wasn't ready. There were things he needed to understand. There was teaching that needed to take place. But then there comes a point when people are ready and we need to challenge that question. See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? That man was ready. In Acts chapter 2, we note that those who asked the question and they were told, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins." We note that with many other words, he exhorted them saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." And they that gladly received His word were baptized. And you'll notice that in that day there were about 3,000. They were ready. They understood the things they needed to do, and they were willing to do it and wanted to do it right then. In the case we're reading about in Acts chapter 8, here is water, what doth hinder me? You see, here's a religious man that's been studying from Isaiah chapter 53. He's been taught a lot of things by Philip the evangelist. And now he's ready. Here's water. Why not? In Acts chapter 16, we read of the conversion of the Philippian jailer. And you recall the incident when the Philippian jailer supposed that the prisoners had escaped and was about to kill himself. And Paul said, "Do thyself no harm, for we're all here." And he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Now, what's that man interested in? He doesn't want to go to hell. He understands the consequence of his sin. Now, somewhere through the process of the night, he's been taught that. And they set him aside and declared unto him the Word of God. They taught him what to believe. And we note that in the same hour of the night, he was baptized, he and all his. Somewhere between midnight and daybreak. Now, in every one of these instances where the question is asked, "What must we do?" or "Here is water, what hinders me?" do you not see some urgency attached to the question and the actions following? This was urgent. Here were people who were ready. They knew what was right. They knew what needed to be done. Let's do it right now. Remission of sin is just that important. Now the question is, are you ready? You see, some are and some are not. Now how do you know the difference? Well, here's somebody that's waiting till they know more. You ever talk with somebody who made that statement? "I just don't know enough." Or maybe in the conversation you perceive that there's more teaching that needs to be done. Well, perhaps there is. But perhaps there's not. You see, on that first Pentecost following the resurrection of Christ, the text tells us that with many other words, Peter exhorted them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." They then that gladly received His word were baptized. Notice, if you will, that 3,000 obeyed the gospel in that day. How long have they been hearing the gospel? Somebody said, "Well, it took them 5 years to learn the truth." No. Peter taught them that day what they needed to do. They knew enough to obey the gospel. And when we think about Acts chapter 14, interesting text. Somebody said, "Well, there's a lot of things going on in my life right now, and I need to wait until things get a little bit easier for me." Foolish statement. Just a foolish statement. In Acts chapter 14, you'll notice in verse 22, that as the apostles returned to places that they have already visited, it tells us that they were confirming the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that through many tribulations we must enter into the kingdom of God. Beloved, show me the passage where the Lord ever promised that becoming a Christian is ever going to be an easy thing to do. Always going to be easy. No, no. Now, if that's your disposition, you're not ready yet. If you think you can wait till the time when it'll be a lot less trouble to you, much like Felix, when I have a convenient time. You know, sometimes we look at our life and there are a lot of things to change. And there are a lot of challenges that are going to be hard, but what better time to start than right now? We think of Saul of Tarsus as he saw the Lord on the road to Damascus and went into the city of Damascus, and there Ananias the preacher said, "Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins." In other words, why not right now? We think Saul didn't have problems. Saul had, some have declared, been groomed to become seated on the Jewish court. I don't know if he was or wasn't. But I know he was brought up at the feet of Gamaliel. He's a very intelligent man. He had a very responsible position among the Jews, and he had gone to the chief leaders of the Jews to ask letters that he might find those that were of the way and bring them to the city of Jerusalem that they might be persecuted, some even unto death, as he himself held the garments of those who stoned Stephen to death. Now he finds out that all of his thinking up to this point has been wrong. You think there's not a lot of sacrificing he's going to have to do? We often think of Saul of Tarsus as an independent fellow who didn't have any family. You read his account in Philippians chapter 3, and you'll read of his pedigree. What do you think his family thought of his obedience to the gospel? You think he stopped to give that a whole lot of consideration? Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sin. The text tells us he arose and was baptized. You see, if I'm going to wait till things get easier, then I'm lacking in conviction. Sometimes I want to wait till it won't cost me so much. Yes, I understand the necessity of counting the cost. Jesus talked about that in Luke chapter 14, beginning in verse 25. We need to count the cost. But my friend, if you wait till it's not going to cost you much, if that's your thinking, then you're not ready to obey the gospel. Because you don't understand what the Lord gave. You don't understand what it cost Him. And you need to learn about that. And then I talked with folks who said, well, I want to see if I can live a Christian life first, and then I'll obey the gospel. Think about that, my friend. That just don't make sense. I want to see if I can live a Christian life, and then I'll become a Christian. Friend, you can't live a Christian life until you become a Christian. Do you not see that? You need to start there. Obey the gospel. Become a Christian. And don't think that in becoming a Christian that your life is going to be lived flawlessly from that point forward. We look at the example of the Apostle Peter in Galatians chapter 2, how that Peter had taught the acceptance of the Gentiles a number of times, in fact. And then in Galatians chapter 2, Paul said, I resisted him to the face because he stood condemned. In fact, called him a hypocrite because after teaching others that they could be saved and circumcision was not a part of that, now he's acting as if circumcision is necessary to becoming a Christian. And he is using his influence to teach others to do that same thing. Paul called him a hypocrite. And my friend, if you're thinking, I'll wait till I can live a perfect life and then I'll become a Christian, you're not ready yet to obey the gospel. You need to see you're not going to do that. What you need to do is take care of step one. Start here. Now, my friend, when we think about this question, are you ready? Some are. When are you ready to obey the gospel? I think this is a legitimate question. We have to ask this question not only because of our efforts to teach people that are in the world, but also our young people who learn about the need to be baptized. And sometimes are pricked at a very early age in their conscience and think, well, the Bible says be baptized, much like the fellow a while ago. It's in there somewhere, so I need to do that. Well, I need to understand some things. Do you know what sin is? What is sin? You see, when I understand what sin is and that I'm guilty of sin, then I need to be giving some thought about what to do to be saved. But I also need to give some thought to what I need. I need forgiveness of sins. Those Jews in Acts chapter 2, when they asked the question, what shall we do? A legitimate question to follow that with is, do about what? Peter has just indicted them of sin. Do we not see that? The horror of sin. They crucified the Son of God. Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, Saul of Tarsus was told in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. We need to see what sin is. We also need to understand the consequence of sin. That sin separates us from God. That's what Isaiah said in chapter 59 verses 1 and 2. If we die in that condition, we'll die eternally separated from God. We don't want that, do we? We learn from Ephesians chapter, or Romans it is, chapter 6 and verse 23, that the wages of sin is death. Eternal separation from God. That's what sin is. Now let me ask you, beloved, do you know that sin exists in your life? I've talked with young people before who wanted to talk about their obedience to the gospel. Simply because of this. At a very, very early age, they thought about being baptized because they had been taught, and correctly so, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. They understood that, but they didn't understand saved from what? Didn't understand about sin. They were baptized, or at least they were immersed in water, and then as they grew a little bit older, they began to reflect upon what sin is, what temptation is, how we arrive in this condition, and realize that they needed to be baptized. And my friend, when we're old enough to understand what temptation is, what sin is. Old enough to understand that either I have obeyed or disobeyed the commandments of God. That inquires or requires a certain amount of understanding, does it not? A certain amount of knowledge. Sin is a transgression of law, John said. When God said, don't do that, and you do it anyway, you've committed sin. James tells us in James chapter 4 and verse 17, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. In other words, when God says, I want you to do this, and you just don't do it, you've committed sin. Now that requires some knowledge on your part. Let's look just a little bit further. Not only when I know what sin is, but when I understand who Jesus is. When the Apostle Peter preached to those Jews in Acts chapter 2, what was the crux of his lesson? He didn't begin with baptism. In Acts chapter 2, he began by answering their questions regarding the events that were transpiring on that day, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And then having answered that question, he began by telling them, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God, he lived among you and he performed miracles. You know that's so. And then you delivered him up, and by the hand of lawless men you crucified him. You know that's so. And then he said, him did God raise up, having loosed the pangs of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. And then he begins to quote from the Old Testament prophecy of David. We studied this just recently. How that David said, thou wilt not give thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt not leave my soul unto Hades. And Peter said, that David wasn't talking about himself. He was talking about the resurrection of the Christ. And he said, I'm here to tell you that we are all witnesses that God has raised him from the dead, this same Jesus, this one that you crucified. Now, my friend, did they understand who Jesus is? Did they understand that they hadn't killed just a man? They had killed the Son of God. That's what they did. They understood who He is. Well, what does that mean? Who is He? He's one that came into this world through a miraculous birth. He was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. He faced temptation like you and me in the body of flesh, but never once succumbed to sin. He is indeed the Son of God, proven to be so by the evidence of the miracles that He performed. He did indeed die for our sins. And of course, there's a whole lesson in each one of these points. Why was it necessary that He die? You see, a whole lot of that is explained for us in Romans chapter 3, beginning in verse 23 through verse 26. And then, beloved, that He was raised from the dead. What does that mean? You see, all of that's important if I want to know who Jesus is. But furthermore, I must understand what I need to do. I need to believe that He is the Christ. Jesus said, if you're willing to, or if you don't believe that, you'll die in your sins. You see how important that is? Salvation is had in Christ and in none other. You have to believe that. One must repent of past sins. That is, you can't continue to live that way. We've talked about that. Confessing our faith was essential to this eunuch in Acts chapter 8. In order that he might be baptized. And then understanding that baptism is an immersion in water for the remission of our sins. Understand what to do. And then there's another question. I need to understand why I need to do it. There's a whole lot of people that understand it's commanded, but don't know why. As we noted a few moments ago, one of the consequences of sin is to be separated from God. Separated from God. That means be lost. Be lost eternally. Now, my friend, do you know what sin is? Do you know who Jesus is? Do you understand what you need to do? And do you understand why you need to do it? If you understand these things, then when we come to the question that the eunuch asked, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? We understand the urgency of what he's asking, do we not? Here is water. Let's do that now. You see, very pointedly, you can't go to heaven unless you obey the gospel to receive the remission of your sin. It's just that important. those in Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 9, their lives are described as characterized by a number of sins: fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with men, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners. And he said, you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You can't go to heaven like that. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Here's what's necessary to be forgiven. Baptism plays a part in that. You're lost without it. Now, does that mean faith is not essential? No, no. It's essential. But it's not the point at which you're forgiven of your sin. Does that mean repentance is not important? No, we've emphasized that. But one is not forgiven of their sins simply because they've repented. Does that mean confession of faith is not important? No, I can't go to heaven without it. But it is at the point of being baptized into Christ that I receive the remission of my sins, because there I come in contact with the blood of Christ. You see, without it, I'll be lost, forever separated from God. I don't want that. I don't want it for you. You see, when the eunuch expressed that, see, here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Did he not understand that there is danger in delay? Let's do this now. You see, if you understand that, then you see the urgency, the danger of delay. Christ could come. You don't know when He's coming. It might be today, it might be tomorrow, it might be the day after, it might be years from now. You don't know that. What does that mean then about your life? You need to make preparation now. Christ might come before you obey the gospel. You might die before you obey the gospel. And the Hebrew writer assures us that it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this cometh judgment. You see, if you die in lost and undone condition, you face God condemned. And you're ready to obey the gospel. When you know what sin is, when you understand who Jesus is, when you understand what you need to do and why you need to do it, you understand the urgency to the extent that you can't be talked out of it. It's time for you to do something, friend. So the question is, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? You see, in Acts chapter 16, that Philippian jailer took Paul and Silas the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, immediately. He saw the urgency, didn't he? There was no talking him out of it. Saul of Tarsus, the question was asked, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on his name. Can you imagine the condition that Saul was in? 3 days, did neither eat nor drink, blind, miserable, knowing what he did in the past. Acts chapter 9 continues that thought. Straightway there fell from his eyes as it were scales, and he received his sight, and he arose and was baptized. What does that tell us about Saul's understanding of the urgency of it? See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? There's water right behind this wall. Perhaps some of you need to obey the gospel. There are those in the audience who need to think about that. There are those who will likely be listening to this recording that need to think about that. What about now? Can you think of a better time? Maybe you've obeyed the gospel and you're not what you need to be. Many of the same things we've talked about, you need to be thinking about. No, you don't need to be baptized again. But what you do need to do is to correct your life. Repent of the sin that's there and confess it. Ask God's forgiveness. If we can help you in your obedience, even this morning, make that known right now while Bruce, we stand and sing this song.